I'm Bill Littlefield, coming up on Only a Game, Street Basketball as Refuge and More. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for our look of the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Bill.
The NFL draft began on Thursday night and will continue through late May and on into early June,
I guess.
Football is the only pro sport nobody is playing in April, and somehow the NFL draft is still the biggest sports story of the week. How did this happen?
Because the NFL is the giant center of the sports universe, and everything else is bent by its gravitational pull.
Oakland Raiders owner Mark Davis is making eyes at Las Vegas. He says he's ready to pony up $500 million for a new stadium there. Is this going to happen?
Who knows? I mean, I don't think the NFL wants to go to Las Vegas. I think that may, in fact, be a slot machine too far, even for the NFL. But once again, it's the Davis family making life a living hell for the National Football League.
Kind of a tradition.
And, you know, he's got a sweetheart deal from Las Vegas. A $1.4 billion, and that's with a B, a billion-dollar stadium, which he only pays $500 million for, and $200 million of that is a loan from the NFL. That being said, I think anything's probably possible, but I'm not exactly sure about this one.
In other football news, Andrew Luck of the Colts has started a book club, and he will field questions on the books that he assigns. And I don't know what they're reading. Maybe The Thorn Birds, maybe 50 Shades of Grey, maybe League of Denial.
No, actually, there are two levels of difficulty to his suggested books. One is the rookie book, which the first one of which is Maniac McGee by Jerry Spinelli, a book that has eluded my notice thus far.
You're not a rookie.
And the other one is The Boys in the Boat by Daniel James Brown, which
That's
is about
book.
An Olympic crew team, which is a terrific book.
Yeah.
So Andrew Luck is off to a good start.
This week, the NCAA Board of Directors rescinded a ban on satellite football camps. I don't know what they are. I don't know why they needed to be banned, and I don't know why they needed to be unbanned. Can you help me out with this?
Well, I used to love going to satellite camp, especially when I was in Sputnik cabin.
Oh, that's the best.
Yeah, that was really great. Yeah. We used to have great rivalries with the folks in Telstar cabin and Voyager cabin. They used to go out for passes and never come back. Mm. It was interesting. Mm. You know, coaches go off far from campus and hold football training drills and stuff. I suspect golf is at the bottom of all of this.
I'm sure you're right, but it sounds to me as if unbanning these camps simply means that coaches now have a greater opportunity than ever to take more time away from whatever else their players might be doing, i.e. participating in Andrew Luck's book club.
I was about to say, you may have noticed, Bill, that both banning and unbanning satellite camps has nothing to do with the educational process. I just thought I'd point that out for the record.
The football program at the University of Idaho will become the first to make the voluntary drop from the FBS to the FCS. What prompted Idaho to settle for smaller potatoes?
Smaller potatoes. I got that, Bill.
I'm just saying it for the listeners.
I know you do. Why don't you say it again, and then the five we have left will go
no,
away.
No, you answer now.
Anyway, as we were saying, the president of the university, Chuck Staben, is doing this to put his football program back more into the mainstream of his university. He said, our relevance will be complemented by our football program and not defined by it.
Hmm.
I hope he's happy at the University of Idaho because he has no chance of getting a job at any other major institution.
I was going to say exactly the same thing, and he may not even last long at his present job. We have reached the second round of the NBA playoffs, and the series that everybody is talking about now pits the San Antonio Spurs against the Oklahoma City Thunder. You're looking forward to that one,
Absolutely. I mean, that's a terrific series. And, you know, the ongoing managerial miracle that is the San Antonio Spurs is really quite something.
NCAA officials said this week that the state of North Carolina must prove that arenas which will be used in the 2017-2018 tournaments will be discrimination-free zones. This is in response, of course, to the state's discriminatory HB2 law. What do you see as the outcome in NCAA v. North Carolina here?
I think the NCAA has a perfect right to do anything it wants. And, I mean, to me, it seems like it's the same rule that prevents arenas that host the NCAA from selling beer. The NCAA can tell them that signs are banned in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't it tell them that it has to conform to non-discriminatory bathroom policies?
On Tuesday, a campaigning Ted Cruz was addressing a gathering in Indiana where people take basketball fairly seriously, and he used the term basketball ring. Was he referring to the championship jewelry that you get when you win everything?
I was going to say, unless he was talking about Bill Russell, now it is called a hoop or the tin or the bucket. There are a lot of names for it. The ring is not one of them.
The basketball ring shall be posted 11 feet above the floor.
Of course. I mean, of course, once he said it, Twitter went bananas. My favorite one comes from somebody called B-Town's DJ Unique, and I'm sure the entire Unique family is proud of this. He says, Ted Cruz thinks Bob Knight threw a table.
You know, it's a good thing that Ted Cruz doesn't have to campaign in Montreal, because he might refer to how exciting it is when somebody hits that rubber circle with the old hockey club.
I was about to say.
Has anything caught your attention in the NHL postseason, Charlie?
The fact that Anaheim once again had a series lead and fell apart, and Nashville has now moved on to the second round of the playoffs is interesting enough. And, of course, Washington and Pittsburgh is, to a lesser extent, the Spurs and the Thunder in terms of glamour games. So, yeah, I mean, those are two really, really good series.
This week, we got our first look at the uniforms the U.S. Olympians will be wearing for the games in Rio this summer. Am I the only one who thinks the delegation is going to look like the cast of a 1957 movie about jolly times at the yacht club in the Hamptons?
I was about to say they look like the waitstaff at a fish house. I particularly like the striped belts they're going to be forced to wear. I think the U.S. Olympic Committee and Ralph Lauren should rethink at least the undershirt with the stripes.
Some people think that one of the reasons boxing is no longer the king of sports is because there are no personalities in boxing anymore. Not so, say I, and so I give you Mr. Tyson Fury, if that really is his name.
he beat Vladimir Klitschko, and they're having a rematch on July 9th. And he was home, back in England. He was giving a press conference, and he, took off his shirt and, wiggled his flab and said, does that look like a fighter's body? Clearly not. Have a look. Fat man, that's who beat you. Shame on you, my friend.
This sounds like personality to me.
He went on to say, look, I hate boxing. I hate training, but I'm too freaking good at it to stop. I hope Klitschko knocks me out, because then I can retire and go on holiday.
And finally, Charlie, those cheering on 12-year-old runner Liadnez Rodriguez got a lot more than they bargained for last Sunday when they watched her run what was supposed to be a 5K race in Rochester, New York. What happened?
She got in the wrong race and ran a half marathon in 2:43:31. And good for her. I mean, I don't know how nobody noticed.
Supposed to go 3 miles, went about 13.
I mean, I assume she noticed and didn't care. But, I mean, certainly I think she's got a lot she can teach old Tyson Fury about getting in shape.
You can find the sports writing of Charlie Pierce at SI.com these days. And, of course, he joins me each week on Only a Game as well. Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks, Bill.